On a Friday, you're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and we're going around the state exploring light displays that really enhance the architecture of historic downtowns and districts. We have the Wisconsin Historical Society as our trusted guide. So what is your favorite town in Wisconsin to visit for the lights? What holiday lights tour has your family made a tradition of going on? And do you have a light display that enhances your town's beauty? Share it with us, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Joe DeRose is a 30-year veteran of the Wisconsin Historical Society. He is survey and registration historian for its Division of Historic Preservation. Joe, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get on this tour bus right away. Let's head to Cedarburg, southeast part of the state. What charm does this community bring us over the holidays?
Cedarburg is one of my favorite communities, being in preservation, because they based their entire downtown retail strategy on preservation. They understood very early on that they couldn't compete with the malls and the big cities, but they understood that if they had a distinctive downtown, that that would be a lure for people to shop.
Oh, like so, the ambiance and
exactly.
How it feels when you walk down the streets.
Exactly. So they started very early in the early 1970s doing that. And they got their entire downtown listed in the National Register of Historic Places. And the buildings down there were built between 1847 and 1920. And right in the middle of the downtown is a great juxtaposition of architecture. It's the old mill that was built in 1847. And then right next to it is a Wadham's gas station. It's like this Chinese pagoda built in 1920. It's a very early example of corporate architecture, actually. All the Wadham's gas stations were built like Chinese pagodas, and they're very rare these days.
And inside the mill, you can do some shopping?
Sure. It's kind of a mall in a mill, if you will. And Cedarburg is hosting a Taste of Christmas tonight from 5 to 9, where you can stroll the downtown and eat and drink and just enjoy the entire historic neighborhood.
And there's also a bridge there that's preserved as well.
Correct. Yeah, that's the old interurban bridge. That was an early trolley line, if you will. It was a way of getting commuters around from Milwaukee to Cedarburg. And a lot of these bridges have been lost because with the changes in vehicular traffic, changes in train traffic, they just don't support the loads anymore, so they get replaced. So Cedarburg actually has an early example of a bridge.
Well, let's take a visit to Elkhart Lake here in Sheboygan County. There is an old world Christmas market, just in case you can't make it to Germany.
Right. And that's been going on for a number of years. Last year, it was actually voted the number one best holiday market by USA Today's Reader's Choice. So it's a great way of getting an indoor experience, holiday experience. But one of the neat things about Elkhart Lake that a lot of people probably don't realize is that in the 1950s, it was a mecca for road circuit racing. This was very popular
really?
In Europe, having races on county roads and things like that. So this came to Elkhart Lake, and they actually had a circuit where people would bring their race cars and they would race around the countryside. And you can still do, well, I can't say you can still do this, but the course is still there. Please obey the speed limit. But if you Google Elkhart Lake Road Race Circuit, you can find the actual course that the racers went on. And this became so popular that in 1954, Road America was constructed, which is the off-road racing circuit that we still have today.
We're talking with Joe DeRose, taking some history lessons here with the Wisconsin Historical Society. He's with the Division of Historic Preservation. You can join in. We're going on a tour of holiday displays that really shine a light on these historically significant buildings in our downtowns. Do you and your family like to take strolls around different towns to see all the holiday lights and decor? What are some of your favorite spots? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Well, let's head north to the shores of Lake Superior, make a stop in Bayfield. What is it like there this time of year?
Well, they have tons of snow right now. So if you're looking for a white Christmas, that's the place to go. I got snowed in up there a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
Bayfield's another community that embraced its history very early on. They listed their entire community on the National Register of Historic Places, and most of the buildings in the community date to the time period between 1883, when the railroad first came to town, up to 1924. That's when the large employer, the mill in town, closed down. And when you're walking through the community, that's when most of the buildings were constructed. Bayfield also has a unique approach to a visit from Santa Claus. Tomorrow, Santa and Mrs. Claus will be arriving in Bayfield via the ferry from Madeline Island.
Well, it takes all types of transportation,
certainly,
right?
Certainly.
And so that will be going on from 11:30 until 1. And so that's taking the Madeline Island Ferry with a trip with Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus there. While we're up that way, Ashland is next door. What can we find there?
Well, Ashland's yet another community. Embraced their history very early on. They listed their downtown in the National Register. Most of the buildings were constructed from 1884 to 1937. So when you're downtown, you have this sense that you are walking back in time. Like a lot of communities, their streets are named after important people. They're having a holiday craft fair at the Ashland High School tomorrow. It's at on 1900 Beezer Avenue. And Beezer Avenue is named after Martin Beezer, the gentleman who named the community of Ashland. Unfortunately, Mr. Beezer met a tragic end sailing on Schwamigan Bay and drowned when he was sailing between Bayfield and Ashland at the age of 44.
So what, if we go further south, there's also Hayward. And when I think of Hayward, I think of the Berkey Trail. Mm-hmm. What else can we do and see in Hayward?
I'm a 27-year veteran of the Berkey.
Are you really?
Yeah,
congratulations.
That for a number of years.
Oh.
If you're looking for light displays, Hayward arguably has the largest per capita light display you're going to find in Wisconsin. You go in there downtown, and if it doesn't move, it's covered with lights this time of year. And those lights are put up by volunteers, and they'll be up until New Year's Day.
So Hayward is glowing, and that takes a lot of work to get all
of
those lights, and it can be pretty costly for these communities.
Well, the volunteer effort is spectacular up there in everything they do. You mentioned the Birkebeiner ski race. It's largely a volunteer effort, so it doesn't surprise me that they're able to pull something like this off.
And so there's also a Victorian bed and breakfast, the Spider Lake Lodge, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is significant about this lodge?
Well, the Spider Lake Lodge, historically, a lot of people traveled to the Northwoods starting in the 1920s. They would start to go there for vacations, and they would take trains up there, and people from the lodge would meet people at the train station and take them to the lodge. It was their getaway, if you will, to the wilds of the North, and I use the term wilds loosely because these folks were provided with three meals a day, fishing guides, things like that. But it was a very different experience than living in the city.
We're on a tour of architecturally just awesome places in Wisconsin this time of the year. The Wisconsin Historical Society survey and registration historian Joe DeRose is our guide. Is your downtown really decked out for the holidays? What buildings are lit up, and are any on the National Register of Historic Places? Join in with architectural questions, suggestions, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back with more Wisconsin Weekend and Joe DeRose right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're on a tour of architecturally significant places in Wisconsin that are really decked out for the holidays. How is your main street transformed for the season? Did you help put up lights? Have merchants dressed up their storefronts? Do you window stroll and soak in the season. Join in 800-642-1234. You can tweet us your favorite views of Main Street at WPR Mornings. Joe DeRose is our guide from the Wisconsin Historical Society, and he's put together this list of architecturally significant places in our state and that extra special this time of year because of the lights. Let's go to the phones now with Tom joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Well, my question is just kind of the opposite. Here in Burlington, they tore down this beautiful pavilion that was 100 years old on Riverside Park, and they put it up something like looks like a gas station. And it was heartbreaking, and I called everybody to try and stop it, and I couldn't. I was helpless. So my question is, how can you stop people? Do you join the Wisconsin the Historical Society, to keep people from tearing down some of these beautiful things? We seem to have this thing in this country where old is bad and new is good.
Tom, so thanks so yeah, thank you so much. Being on the National Register is also a really big deal in terms of preservation.
Well, that's true. The National Register, unfortunately, it's largely an honorific designation. It's not a regulatory designation, but it can be used to galvanize support to preserve buildings. That's how it actually got its start back in the 1960s, was in response to demolitions. Unfortunately, what Tom is explaining is very common. So it's what communities undertake is they will try to pass local preservation ordinances which regulate what can and can't be done with buildings. But even those still allow demolition. So unfortunately, there's nothing that's an automatic save for anything. The best choice is just trying to get grassroots support and bring pressure to bear that way.
What are some of the saves, the precious saves you've seen over the years in a long career in preservation?
Well, one of the communities we're going to be talking about, New Glarus, has the old train station there. If you've ever biked on the Sugar River Trail, it's now a place where you can rent bicycles. The train tracks are long gone, but the depot is still there, and that was saved by local folks that understood the importance of that building and wanted to preserve it. So it was a way of they found a use for it and preserved it.
And that community is so rich in its Swiss heritage. How is it transformed at the holidays? What is it like?
Yeah, well, its Swiss heritage dates back to 1937. A gentleman by the name of Edwin Barlow. He's the gentleman that started up the Wilhelm Tell pageant that is still going on today, the celebration of Swiss heritage. He constructed his house in the style of a Swiss chalet. Uh-huh. He hired a Swiss architect to design it and really got the ball rolling in the Swissification, if you will, of the community.
Swissification. Let's go to Jeff now in Pelican Lake. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about Pelican Lake Hotel. It's located on the east shore of Pelican Lake. This is like the fourth version of the hotel. Right now, it's privately owned, and it's on the National Board of Registry. I don't know if you have a directory there. You could probably look it up. I don't know the facts about that.
What does it look like, Jeff? What is its, what are some of its interesting features?
Right now in the area, it's one of the largest buildings in the area. It's two stories. It has 19 bedrooms. Right now, if you want to use the hotel, you rent the whole hotel. So you get a full-size kitchen, dining room, living room and a bar, and you got 19 bedrooms upstairs.
Oh, wow. That's quite the ability to bring you and a few guests.
it's very good for family reunions. Yeah. We have people that rent it out 3 years in advance.
Wow.
So that's the summer. In the wintertime, it's all decorated Christmas lights. All the lights, the windows are lit up. There's wreaths on the first floor. And right now with the snowfall, the snowbanks are getting kind of high, so it's kind of hard to see from 45.
Joe, are you familiar with this?
Yes, and yeah. I was around when that got listed in the National Register, and Jeff's absolutely right. It's actually a rare survivor of a hotel because so many of these that were built along lakes, that's very valuable property, and they end up getting torn down for something bigger and better. And this is a very distinctive I can't say really a reuse of the building because it's still a hotel, but what Jeff mentions is that it fits a perfect niche for family reunions where you can rent out the whole place. It has a community kitchen that everybody can work in and cook. So it's a great way for families to get together.
And reimagining a building in a different way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's go to Ripon in Fond du Lac County. It's also has a number of listings on the National Register. What is historic in Ripon?
Well, again, their downtown is a focal point. A lot of the buildings date from the mid-19th century up until the 1930s, again, listed in the National Register. What people may not know, that unless they live in Ripon, is that Ripon actually got its start as a commune back in 1844. People lived in what was known as a longhouse, a large building where everybody lived, and they shared land communally. It was pretty short-lived, but that's how Ripon got its start.
Are there remnants of that?
The longhouse is still there. I believe it's used as an apartment complex now.
That would be a good reuse.
Yep. Right now, one of the fun things, I'm not sure if it's going on quite yet. I don't know if it's been cold enough, but they have an ice rink downtown called the Village Green, where you can go ice skating down there. If you're looking to see if it's open, you can go to their Facebook page, which is Ripon, Wisconsin, and see and check for hours of operation of that.
Talking with Joe DeRose, a survey and registration historian for the Wisconsin Historical Society. He's taking us around the state and also, you know, he's an expert on the National Register of Historic Places. So pick his brain, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So, Joe, what is one of your favorite spots to visit as this season really ramps up? Is there a place you like to go?
I get around the state quite a bit in my job, and I always like going to Door County. And this time of year, you don't have to fight the big summer crowds, but there's still a lot of activities there. Door County is known for its cherry production. I think if you've been to Door County, mm-hmm. you've had cherry pie, what have you. Just a couple of miles south of Egg Harbor, there's something called the Murphy Farms. It's as you're driving along the highway, you can't miss it. It's these huge gray barns, and the Murphy Farms date back to about World War I, and they were the largest producer of cherries in the county, and they were the ones that got that production going. And while you're up there, you might as well continue up to Egg Harbor, which has a really fun New Year's Day parade. Pretty much anybody is allowed to participate. So you see everything in it, from clowns to people driving decked out golf carts to snowplows that are decorated. Just show up and participate in their parade, and it's a lot of fun.
Are there particular main streets that you think really have been able to combine their historic preservation with some really neat ways this holiday season to, you know, make it feel festive?
Yeah, Mineral Point's another one. People ask me what are the two most historic, if you will, communities in Wisconsin. I always mention Cedarburg and Mineral Point because they really embrace the history of the area. Lots of different shops downtown, lots of galleries, things like that, where you can just stroll from one building to the next. So even if it's pretty nasty outside, you know, you can avoid the elements. In Mineral Point, they have a house museum, the old Gundry House, which was built in 1869 for the Gundry family. It was designed by a Madison architect by the name of Stephen Shipman. He was responsible for designing the dome of the second state capitol and one of the early architects in Wisconsin. When you go to the Gundry House today, it's on a large parcel of land, several acres, and you think, boy, this place must have always been loved. That wasn't the case. In 1936, it was almost torn down, but 11 people got together, bought the house and 9 acres for the whopping sum of $800.
Oh, what a deal.
In the Depression, I'm sure that was a fair amount of money, but they purchased the Gundry House, and that's where the Mineral Point Historical Society got its start in that building. And they're actually hosting a Christmas party tomorrow. They're located at 234 Madison Street. So it's a way of getting some Christmas cheer, but also getting to tour the building.
Well, let's go really quick here to Don in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Don.
Hello.
Yeah. Really quickly here, about to wrap up.
So you were talking about Door County, and you didn't mention the Graver, which was a big controversy in Sturgeon Bay, like the last 5 years. And we actually got it saved and moved across the bridge 3 times, and now it's back in its original location. So I just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Don, I think you cut out. You're referring to the granary?
Yes.
Yes,
granary.
Yeah. Again, I like to say that preservation, it's all local. It's not regulatory. If the community wants to preserve something bad enough, they can work towards doing that. And in Sturgeon Bay, they were very successful.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Joe DeRose is the Wisconsin Historical Society's survey historian in the Historic Preservation Division. Coming up, it's the beloved Nutcracker and the story behind how this ballet became such an American holiday hit. Join in with your Nutcracker stories, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Weekend continues after this news update on the Ideas Network.